Now, Simon Marks joins us on the line from Washington DC. Just saw a tweet from you, Simon, about to go live on Dubai Eye, and you now are.
I always like to promote our mutual broadcasts, Tim.
I enjoy our mutual broadcasts greatly. I thank you for doing so.
Sorry, my attention was diverted. I was just going through Alex's CV. I'll get back to that later.
It's not an extensive CV, though, is it? Let's be completely honest. 15 seconds of your time and you're done. Bang! Look, Simon, today is all about remembering the great Muhammad Ali. And I cannot think, and I've been racking my brains, I grew up in the 70s as a kid, as you did, with a father who loved Muhammad Ali, still quotes him to me. Now, it's very difficult to get your head around just how great in so many different ways this man was.
I think that's absolutely right. And President Obama, you know, in the statement, and it was a fulsome tribute that President Obama and Michelle Obama paid to Muhammad Ali over the weekend, they noted the fact that they were mourning his passing, as the president put it, along with everyone else on the planet. Now, you know, I've read a lot of these presidential statements over the years about the passing of noted figures. I don't remember anyone ever previously having said, everyone on the planet is mourning any particular figure, but such was the international global appeal of Muhammad Ali, and I think you've really seen that over the course of the last couple of days since the news was announced, and there'll be several more days ahead here in the United States, because the funeral service is not due to take place until Friday, and the family has said that they want this to be an occasion that people around the world participate in. So I think it really is a tribute to the larger-than-life role that he played on the American stage. Clearly, one of the country's greatest sporting heroes, an athlete who back in the 70s was unparalleled on the world stage, but also so much more than that, given the name change from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali, given his refusal to fight in Vietnam, which, of course, was sorely tested legally and also tested Ali's own boxing career. He was banned for 3 years from participating by the boxing authorities because of that decision not to serve in Vietnam. And then, you know, in latter life, on the cultural stage, a figure who weighed in on various issues at various times, traveled the world. I was seeing on social media over the weekend imagery of Muhammad Ali visiting Moscow back in 1978. You know, very few Americans were visiting Moscow then, and he also traveled the length and breadth of the Soviet Union, going to places like Uzbekistan. There's social media pictures being tweeted over the weekend of Muhammad Ali praying in mosques in Tehran, of him meeting with Palestinian community leaders in Lebanon. So, you know, a truly global figure, and that explains the scale of the reaction to his death.
It really was, but there was this kind of mischievous side, which I think so many people responded to. Let me just read, this is my favorite Muhammad Ali quote, and it's a question that he posed, I think, just before the rumble in the jungle, actually, in 1974. Will they ever have another fighter who writes poems, predicts rounds, beats everybody, makes people laugh, makes people cry, and is as tall and extra pretty as me?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I spent some of the weekend taking another look at some of the old interviews that had been done with Muhammad Ali in the UK by Michael Parkinson. I think that in many ways those are the definitive interviews with Muhammad Ali, but also interviews that he gave to the ABC sportscaster here, Howard Cosell. There's also an interview where Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier were together on the same stage on the Dick Cavett Show, and Michael Parkinson was there with them. And at one point, Parkinson turns to Ali and says, "But why do you make all this noise? Why do you say all these controversial things?" And Ali turns to him and says, "Why do I say all these controversial things? Because it sells every single seat in Madison Square Garden. That's why." I mean, he knew exactly what he was doing with this persona that he took on. And those lines, by the way, you know, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I am the greatest latest, they weren't all written by Ali. He had a guy behind the scenes, Bedini Brown, who was writing these lines for him. It was, you know, pretty adventurous self-promotion and marketing at a time when not everybody was doing that.
Simon, can we move on to presidential race? We've known for some time now that Donald
Only
Trump...
Only if we have to, Alex.
I think we have to in this situation. Because, actually, the news is about Hillary Clinton tonight. We've known for some time Donald Trump has secured enough backing to become the official Republican nominee. But now, finally, Hillary Clinton should become the official Democrat or Democratic nominee, shouldn't she?
Well, she should do, and she's obviously desperately hoping that she does. Who would have imagined that we would be sitting here in early June and the Republicans would have a candidate, but the Democrats were still watching a battle. Hillary Clinton locked in combat, of course, with the socialist senator from Vermont, Bernie Sanders. She really hopes that tomorrow is the day that she's going to put this thing away. You have primary contests tomorrow in New Jersey and in California. We know from all the polling that Hillary Clinton is going to romp to victory in New Jersey. She's got a much tougher battle on her hands than she anticipated in California. She was 18 points clear of Bernie Sanders just a couple of weeks ago, but he has narrowed that to just a 2 or 3 point lead. The way the contours of Tuesday night here in the United States play out, we think that she's going to win New Jersey, will then immediately declare that she is now unstoppable, that she's got the number of convention delegates that she needs in order to secure the Democratic Party's nomination, and then whatever happens in California will either be, from her perspective, irrelevant or icing on the cake. But I do think that the next 24 hours will see Hillary Clinton moving to say, right, I am now officially unstoppable, I am the candidate, and I've finally put Bernie Sanders' challenge to rest. And she really needs to do that because, you know, at this point, it is nothing more than embarrassing and humiliating that she hasn't so far been able to achieve that goal.
And it's interesting because that provides closure on gaining the nomination, but it is, of course, on your marks, get set, go for the race to the presidential palace, as it were. It gets curiouser and curiouser, Simon. Let's move to the Republican side. Donald Trump taking on a Mexican judge, infuriating the Republican elites who have only just started to surround him, nodding affirmatively, I gather.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, he's had a weekend of self-inflicted wounds, I would say. Remember that late last week when Hillary Clinton was on her feet excoriating Donald Trump's foreign policy, at that very moment, the most powerful Republican in Washington, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, Paul Ryan, announced that he was finally ready to endorse Donald Trump after what had been quite a delicate ballet between these two, with Paul Ryan worried that Donald Trump couldn't be trusted, that he wasn't really a conservative, that he wasn't really going to deliver on the Republican Party's legislative agenda. And then over the weekend, to the horror of Republican elites, Donald Trump began picking this very personal fight with the judge who is hearing a case about whether Trump University was a legitimate educational establishment or whether it was out to con some of the people who went to attend its classes in order to secure educational degrees. The judge in the case is of Mexican descent, and Donald Trump keeps insisting that the judge, because he is Mexican, is biased against him. He also appeared on television here within the last few hours to say that he would also find it impossible to believe that a Muslim judge could be fair to him. And you can see Republican Party leaders just absolutely aghast at all of this. They are really anxious to try and to try and secure the support of Latino voters here in the United States. They think Donald Trump is completely throwing it away. And if you're a Republican Party leader who hasn't yet endorsed Donald Trump, I think you'd probably be thinking about thinking twice about doing that, because you would be worried that the day after you endorse him, he's going to let you down very badly. So he's got all sorts of problems again, I think.
Once again, I've much enjoyed our mutual broadcast. Simon Marks is in Washington, D.C. Take care, Simon. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, fellas. Bye.
Dubai Eye News.